Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Thursday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, it is a time for a new lesson, and I am thrilled that this night we're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs. And you know the book of Proverbs tells us all of what King Solomon gave us as antidotes to solve the problems that are facing us today in this generation. And another reminder is every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Now, I would like to say that I would want and I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, before we get started, as I always do, I want to thank those of you who have sent me information and comments and advice on this particular show. My precious brothers and sisters, I want to let you know that I am using as much of it as I can, and I thank you so very much for it, and keep it coming, my precious brothers and sisters. Okay, now the theme song for this show, as it suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God and of Jesus Christ? The Bible says, the Spirit, speaking to the church at Thyatira, Revelation chapter 2, verse 29, he that overcometh shall have power over the nations, meaning the flesh, and receive the morning star, meaning Jesus Christ. The promise, if you overcome what is confronting you in this world, following B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, then you will have power and strength in subduing most especially the flesh, and you will receive Jesus Christ as the reward. The Spirit says to the church at Sardis, he that overcometh shall receive a white garment. His name shall not be blotted out of the book of life, and his name shall be confessed to the Father and his angels by the Son. Again, that's taken from Revelation chapter 6. Still, the promise, if we overcome, again, we know that it's so much for us to respond to and basic instructions before leaving Earth gives us what we need to get through it. And if we do, the promise is that we're going to receive the Book of Life, not have our names blotted out, receive a white garment that would be our white robe, and be confessed before the Father and his angels by Jesus Christ, the Son. And again, the Spirit says to the church at Philadelphia, he that overcometh and keeps the word of Jesus Christ shall not be subjected to the hour of temptation to commit sin. My brothers and sisters, this is taken from Revelation chapter 3, verse 13. I think this is critical of note, that the promise, if you overcome, you will be given what you need to overcome temptation in the time that it shall subject itself to you. The Spirit said again to the church at Laodicea, he that overcometh shall sit on the throne with Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 3, verse 22. And again, the promise is so significant to us, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, that if you overcome, then you will receive a seat on the throne sitting next to Jesus Christ. The question again for this hour is, are you standing on these promises? Now, let's go to the study. And before we get into the details of the study, let me mention, as I always do, that the Bible is written in code. That means it is written in mysteries and secrets, parables and prophecies, in proverbs and paradoxes and riddles and in symbols. And the only way to break this code, my precious brothers and sisters, is through study and learning. That is why we're on the air. That is why we're communicating one with another tonight, that we may study and learn together. Okay, let's go to the study. All right, turn your Bible sources to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 20 through 22, and then we're going to look at verse 28 through 33. And what I want you to keep in mind as I read the scripture text to you, I want you to keep in mind this instruction. How long will you love simplicity, scorn, and hate knowledge? My brothers and sisters, this is a critical terse, is a statement, if you will, that Solomon gives us right off the bat. How long will we be doing this? Okay? And this is what Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 through 22 says about that. How long? Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. My brothers and sisters, wisdom of God, that which is within you, is crying out to us. How long will we stay simple-minded and be subjected to what they've taught us school, the ABCs, and not respond to what God is instructing us to become in the basic instructions before leaving Earth, the Bible? That is so significant. And I'll tell you why. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 33, verse 6. We're going to amplify upon this. This is something that the prophet said. This is why. Isaiah, look at Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33. And we're going to look at verse 6. And this is what the prophet Isaiah said about this wisdom of God, which is so significant. Isaiah says, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and the strength of thy salvation, and the fear of the Lord is thy treasure. My brothers and sisters, you want to be stable in this life that you're leading today? You want to have strength in the salvation that we look forward to in the ever after? Wisdom, simplicity does not fit. We must be wise. Now I see we're at our first break. Let's take the first break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
The tragedy is this. We get discouraged. We see our economy going down, all right? We get discouraged. We look at this paper coming in, asking for claims or some debt we have to pay. We get discouraged. We are snared by the visible. The visible is what the devil uses. The visible, look at the lump, how it's growing. Look at your report. Look at what the report says. And it's all visible. We lose sight of the invisible God. Elijah forgot the God who led him to Cherith. He forgot the ravens that fed him by day and by evening. He forgot the woman that God commanded to feed him. And he forgot the barrel of meal that never wasted and the jar of oil that never ceased. He forgot the God of the resurrection that raised the boy from the dead, even through him. He forgot the God who answered by fire and the rain that followed. Why? Because like this, any of us can fall away from faith. Even we walked in the greatest faith yesterday, we can go back to fight today. Peter asked the Lord Jesus when he saw him above the storm, above the waves, on the Lake of Galilee, walking. Lord, if it's you, Lord, bid me come. Jesus says, come, Peter, come. Based on the word of the Lord, looking at Jesus, he stepped on the water, and the wind started howling. When Peter saw the wind was boisterous. What has the wind being boisterous got anything to do with walking on water? You mean if there's no boisterous wind, you can walk? You mean on a perfect day, on a swimming pool, no ripple, you can walk? The wind has nothing to do with it. But when he saw the wind, he lost sight of the living Lord. And he began to sing. Walking by sight will cause the greatest of the disciples to sing and the greatest of the prophets to fail. And we're not throwing stones here at either Peter or Elijah. We are just saying where we missed it. We take our eyes off the invisible into the visible. He got discouraged. His prayer in times past was to pray, to be directed by the Lord. The Lord directs him. He goes to the brook Cherith. The Lord says, okay, enough now. Go to Zarephath. He goes. He built the altar, all at the word of the Lord, the leading of God. But now he's running. At whose direction? At a woman threatening him. The threatening of a woman. He does not see the living Lord anymore. He sees an enraged, angry woman. Some of you I gotta be careful where I point. This few weeks I've been pointing in the right direction. Some of you, you are so afraid because some human face looms larger than the living Lord. You make decisions based on fear of that person instead of trust in the Lord. It might be your boss. It might be your mother-in-law. My mother-in-law told me the other day, hey, mother-in-laws in our church are safe, you know, she told me. She thought I didn't know. Then she's trying to say, quit it. Oh, you're afraid, like Ahab, afraid of his wife. But here, he's not even married to her. And he's afraid of Jezebel. But who is Jezebel? A dying woman. Her days are numbered. Her prophets are finished. She's on the wrong side. And he's running for his life. So that can happen to any of us. The moment we take our eyes off the living Lord.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue with instruction number 4. We're talking about how long will we love simplicity and scorn and hate knowledge. Now this is the Bible comparison. Turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 1 through 3, and this is the warning that even Paul gives us about how long. Listen to what he told the Galatians. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? My brothers and sisters, this tells us that we have to be very careful, even in the instance where we have put down simplicity. Don't return to it. Remember, Jesus says that why would you go back to rotten and unripened fruit after you have eaten ripened fruit? We have to be very careful with that, my brothers and sisters. And this is what I want you to get from this understanding. This is what I want you to spiritually get, that as long as we are in the flesh and fleshly minded, we will be involved with simplicity, scorn, and hatred of knowledge instead of going after the knowledge of everlasting life. We must elevate to spiritual mindedness to break the fleshly cycle, and we must constantly be repentant and stay there. That's the key. All right, let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 2 this time. We're going to look at verse 1 through 6. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. And this is what I want to have you keep in mind. This is the instruction, the benefit of wisdom. Now, we already used and understood that wisdom is the stability of our time and the strength of our salvation. Now, let's hear what King Solomon says about it more in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. My son, Solomon says, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments within thee, so that thou wilt incline thy heart unto wisdom of God and apply thy understanding, thy heart to the understanding of God. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge of God, and lift up thy voice for understanding of God, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasure, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord God and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. My brothers and sisters, this is paramount to us today, and to show how it was always so before King Solomon says it, turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy. We're going to see how Deuteronomy, how Moses rehearsed this to the Israelites after they came out of the desert, or while they were coming out of the desert. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5 through 8, listen to what Moses says about this wisdom. Moses says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Excuse me. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is wise and understanding people about God. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? So you can see that wisdom of God is critical. And Moses brought that to the attention of the Israelites early on. Now let's go to James. We're going to go to the book of James. Turn with me to the book of James. We're going to look at chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. And this is, again, what comparing and agreeing with what the Old Testament just gave us, this is what James says about it. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven by the winds, tossed and to and fro. My brothers and sisters, this wisdom is significant, and we can see that James identifies it too, critically, that only God gives it. That is what we should know and understand. That's why we should seek, as Jesus says, and knock, as Jesus says, and ask God, because he's the one that gives us this wisdom that we need to get through what we are confronted with this day. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God's wisdom and not man's wisdom is what we must seek after in order to be saved. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? It is God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. And we know that there is a difference, and we have to respond to both. But the one that is number one is the wisdom from God. And we know that what we learn from our ABCs is good for us to be good citizens in the world today. But what we learn from spiritual, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth, we know that that is what's going to save us. And the reason that Jesus came in the flesh was not to call the righteous, not those who know their ABCs, but to call the sinners to repentance, those who are weak because of the flesh. And that's what I want you to understand from this instruction. Okay, we are at the second pause for tonight. Let's take that break, and then we'll come back and finish the lesson.
Did you know that anxiety can come from simply having the wrong expectations? Well, if that's true, then what are the right expectations? Here's a simple answer: God's expectations. Okay, then what are God's expectations? Here's another simple answer: perfection. So how do you arrive at perfection? You can't. The good news is that Jesus Christ offered you his own perfection on the cross. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So how does that help us deal with anxiety? Once you have peace with God, you get to have peace about everything else. Why? Because of promises like the one found in Isaiah 51:12, where God says, "I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies and of the Son of Man who is made like grass?" Why is peace with God so great? Because no matter what is causing your anxiety, when you have peace with God, he is your comforter. He is your solution. You need money? He's your provider. You need energy? He's your strength. You need healing? He is your healer. You're looking for direction? He is your counselor. Then how do we receive these things from God? When we have peace with God, the Holy Spirit is able to dwell in us, and he transforms our hearts. He gives us hearts that are seeking after God and his ways. And when we follow the ways of the Lord, we're going to have the perspective of the Lord as well. I want you to think about something for a second. What if the disciples started writing the accounts of Jesus being on earth before Jesus was resurrected? What if they sat down the day after Jesus' death and started writing the Gospels? It would have been a depressing story. The story would have been told from man's limited perspective. They were scared and they were disappointed. They thought that God had made a mistake, that maybe God didn't see it coming. But God had the better perspective and the bigger picture in mind, life and redemption. Some of us are trying to write the story of our lives, but we haven't gotten a hold of God's point of view yet. We're not looking at things from his perspective. We've yet to understand his plan, his sovereignty, and his power. God has a bigger picture in mind for your life. If you're dealing with anxiety that's based on your perspective, you can start to look at things from his perspective today. How do we learn to see things from the point of view of other people in our lives? It's easy. We spend time with them and we get to know them more. The same way we learn to view life from God's perspective by spending time with God. We get it straight from Jesus. And that is why it's so critical for us as believers to spend time with Him. We have peace with God when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but we experience the peace of God in our lives and situations when we abide in Him, walking in His presence. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful."
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the next instruction, number 6. Turn back with me, if you will, to the book of Proverbs. We're looking at chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, and this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the scripture text to you. The promise for length of days, long life, and peace. This is the guarantee. This is the surety that we can have if we follow this proverb that Solomon wrote to 3, verse 1 through 4. This is what he said. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life and peace they shall add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. My precious brothers and sisters, you want to find favor in the sight of God and man? You want to get good understanding in the sight of God and man? You want to have length of days, long life, and peace added to you in this existence? This is the scripture that you want to grab hold to. Wise man Solomon proclaimed it, and God ordains it. Now, let's go to Psalms 91, just to introduce even more of a surety to what David, or King Solomon, gave us. This is David, his father, telling us in Psalms 91, we're going to look at verse 14 through 16, Psalms 91, verse 14 through 16, and listen to what King David said concerning what we can get from the promise of long life and peace and length of days. Listen to what he said. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. My precious brothers and sisters listening out there, love is a key factor in what we should use to attain that length of days, long life, and peace, good favor and understanding with mankind. Love is key. Now let's go to the New Testament complement. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter. We're going to look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4, and listen to how Peter tells us how this surety can be attained. Verse 3 says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy had given us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. My brothers and sisters, there is the ultimate. We are given what we need right now if we have Christ in our lives. And that reservation will assure us the salvation that comes with eternal life in the end through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that if we follow basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, we will secure our place with God and receive all of his benefits. That is critical for life in general, my brothers and sisters. That is more significant than the ABCs that we learn in school, that we learn basic instructions before leaving earth, the Bible. That's what I want you to get from this instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 3 again. We're going to get more information from Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to be reading verse 5 through 8, verse 5 through 8. And I want you to keep in mind this instruction as I read the scripture text to you. What you receive from trusting in God. My brothers and sisters, everything that we're talking about is built on trust. All right? The surety, the guarantee is built on trust. And this is what Solomon said about it in Psalms, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. My brothers and sisters, if you want what I consider personally as one of the biggest benefits from this experience we're having this side of eternity, meaning health spiritually and health physically. What Solomon just gave us is critical for that. And that you must believe, you must trust in God to receive it. Now, again, in Psalms, let's go to Psalms 37, and we're going to hear what King David said about this also. This is not a new concept, or this has not come from Solomon exclusively, but it was also part of what David taught. We're looking at now Psalms 37, verse 3 through 8. In fact, I'll tell you, because David was Solomon's son, I believe that David taught Solomon this, and Solomon just used it in his own words in the book of Proverbs. But this is what David said in Psalms 37, verse 3 through 8. And I see we're at our third pause for tonight. Let's take that pause, and then we'll come back and complete the study.
I want to share a very important philosophy with you today. It's a philosophy I think everyone should hear. Proverbs 6:8-11. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gather its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. Here's the five philosophy that we can learn from ants. Ants have no commander, Ants don't need a commander to tell them to get started. They work faithfully and need no outside accountability to keep them doing right and doing the right things. They work hard and will replace their anthill when it gets ruined. Meaning, if you want to apply this in your real life, be proactive, be honest to yourself, and be industrious. Ants plan ahead. Ants think winter all summer long. They store provision in summer. They think the clock is running out of time, and they are hurrying to get food back to their hive. Meaning, they hustle hard in advance to secure their future. Ants stay positive, always. Ants remind themselves that winter does not last long. They know they'll soon be out. Meaning, whatever happens in your life right now, it will not last forever. Ants never quit. They only change their approach. If they're going somewhere and you stop them or block their pathway, they'll look for another way up, down, all around. They keep looking till they find another way. Meaning, be learn to embrace struggle and hardship in your life. Be flexible and be like ants who don't quit. Winners are not quitters. Ants always do their best, meaning give your best in everything you do right now. It will always lead you to the greater things and the next level in your life. Thanks for watching this video. Share and subscribe.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's continue with instruction number 7, what you receive for trusting in God. And this is what David taught the Israelites. This is critical. Trust in the Lord. He said this in Psalms 37, verse 3 through 8. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land. Trusting in the Lord and doing good, verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. My brothers and sisters listening out there, this is what you receive for trusting in God. It is so significant to know this. And we realize it is only substantiated with the blood of Jesus Christ. That is what is required today of the surety of what David and Solomon said. And we're going to go to back to 1 Peter, comparing and agreeing. Let's turn again to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. And this is what Peter says about that. Whom having not seen, yet loved, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, trusting, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And we know that the Hebrew writer says that it is impossible to please God without faith, faith meaning trust. For he that believes in God or trusts in God or must believe that he exists, that he that comes to God and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we know scripture tells us too that we are saved by grace through faith and hope and love, and not that of ourselves, not that of works. So we know how critical trusting, believing is. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God gives exclusively. Man does not only respond to what stimulates him, which is God. We must realize that God gives and let's see that God gives exclusively. Man does not. So that's why the trust has to be in God, because man only responds to the stimulus. That's what I want you to understand, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back to Proverbs. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 3 again and get one more or another instruction from Proverbs chapter 3. We're looking at verse 9 and verse 10. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the instruction or the scripture text to you. This is what giving will get you. My precious brothers and sisters, this is what giving will get you. You know that God in the book of John tells us that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believeth in him should have eternal life, everlasting life. This is what giving will get you. That's ultimate, is eternal life. But let's hear what Solomon has to say about this in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Solomon says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wines. We know that, again, in the New Testament, it tells us that he that sows much will reap much. You reap what you sow. He that sows little will reap little. So this is where that was probably inspired from. King Solomon tells us that we should honor the Lord with our giving. And that does not just mean money, my brothers and sisters. That's how we get played in some theological circles when it's used to promote giving, talking about yourself, your time, your energy. That is where God is looking. He looks for worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. And money has nothing to do with it. Now, of course, we do give because this is what the Bible teaches us. But that shouldn't be the first and foremost focus of our giving. And this is what Psalms, David is going to reiterate this. Turn with me, if you will. We're going to look at Psalms 37 again. We're going to look at verse 20 through 23 in Psalms 37. And listen to what it says about it. It says, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke. They shall consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as are blessed of the Lord, and of him they shall inherit the earth, and they that do not will be cursed and shall be cut off. And verse 26 completes the thought when it says, he that is merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. And that is what David taught or said to the Israelites concerning giving again. And now let's go to our New Testament complement. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And we're going to see how Jesus put it in Luke chapter 6, verse 20 through 23. Luke chapter 6, verse 20 through 23. And listen to what Luke said, or Jesus said about it. And Jesus lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in ye that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers do unto the prophets. And verse 38 completes the thought. Listen to what Jesus said. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. My precious brothers and sisters, this is what giving will do for you. It will turn into twofold. But again, I want you to and stress the point that we're not talking about money exclusively. We're talking about your time, your effort, your energies. We're talking about giving your all to the Lord. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that giving is a gift or fruit from God. And those who perform it benefit from those who don't or won't. And that's key. And you can challenge yourself by seeing that case. A minute ago I mentioned, he that sows little reaps little. He that sows much reaps much. My brother and sisters listening out there, if you do not put in the effort, you will not receive what putting in the effort will give you. And that is something that is key and you should understand. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're, in fact, at a break, the final break of the evening. Let's take that break, and then we will continue after the break.
How many times have you had somebody say, well, I promise you? Well, promise is our word today. I'm in it with Maxwell. Hi, my name is John. And I think every one of us have had times in our life where there was a promise that pretty well gave us a look at what the future could be if we improved ourselves. It's a wonderful word. It's a word of anticipation. It's a word of hope. It's a word of growth. So when somebody says, I promise you, it's normally something that's going to be in a positive way. And pretty much they're saying, I'm going to put my name on the line, my reputation on the line. Now, we've heard the saying many times that some people, they overpromise and underdeliver, and that isn't where you want to go. Really, what you want to do is underpromise and overdeliver. You see, the gap between expectation and reality, that's called disappointment. So when we promise something, don't leave the gap. Fulfill your promise. I can promise you this. If you do that, people will love your promise. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to take another instruction out of Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 11 and 12. And the scripture text, before I read it to you, this is what I want you to focus on and concentrate. This is the instruction. When God corrects you, praise him. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? When God corrects you, praise him. That is so significant. And we're going to find out why in a minute. Let's go to the text, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. Listen to what King Solomon said about it first. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. That is telling us about our critical nature. You know that because of the sin of Adam and Eve, we've been born handicapped with the knowledge of good and evil. You don't have to tell a baby about evil because the baby already knows what evil is because it is a part of its indigenous DNA. So correction is needed. And we know that God, if you turn to God, he will give you what you need in order to right your wrongs. And that's why repentance came into play through Jesus Christ. Anyway, chastising is a point of interest there. And this is what King Solomon is telling us. Now, to put amplification on this, I just want to expound upon this And we're going to go and see how King David put it. And he gave even more information concerning it. And this is what King David said in Psalms 119, verse 67. Listen, my brothers and sisters. He said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word." David tells us that if God had not intervened, if there was not some interference in what he was doing, he would have continued to do what he was doing, which could have led to his ultimate destruction. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word." And that's because of the chastening that King Solomon mentioned in Proverbs. Listen to what verse 68 says. "Thou art good and does it good. Teach me thy statutes." Verse 71 continues, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." My brothers and sisters listening out there, King David tells us that if God did not intervene, we would still be lost to an eternal death, not only physically, but spiritually also. And that would be the weeping and gnashing of teeth forever. And we are not subjected to that because of the intervening of God. And we know even more so because God gave us Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, we have salvation. Verse 71 continues, or verse 75 continues. This is what King David added to this. He said, "I know, O Lord, that thou judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me." So God knows what is good for his creation. And because he does know, he corrects us as we go. And thank God he does. For if he did not, there would be almost immediate death. We would do things that we would die because of. And it's because of the intervening of Christ or the intervention of God that we don't. And verse 91 completes the thought when it says, "They continue this day according to thy ordinances, for all are thy servants." And listen, my brothers and sisters, "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in my affliction." Again, if God had not intervened, we would all have been dead long before now. Now let's go to the book of Revelations, and we're going to see, comparing and agreeing, how significant this is, because in the book of Revelations, it tells us in verse 14 through 22 how significant this is with God. This is what Revelation chapter 3, the Spirit speaking to the church at Sardis says, and the Spirit speaking to the church at Laodicea says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. Since then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." That is telling us that we, without God's intervention, would be lost. Because of this, the Spirit says to the church, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, blind, and naked." We're only looking at the physical and not the spiritual. That's what this is telling us. Verse 18 says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see us." And this is what God says that he will give us and is giving us if we respond to it. But we have to be urged and edged on even more so. And that's why verse 19 is critical. Listen to what verse 19 says. As many as I love and rebuke and chasten, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So that tells us that chastening is a part of our correction, and we need to receive that with thanksgiving, because if God did not love us, as it said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, that means that he does not love us. So this is critical for us to know. Verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I do overcome and sit down with my Father in his throne. Listen, my brothers and sisters, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And this is, again, so significant to us, because this word is meant for those who can hear it. Those who cannot hear it will not, and they will continue to fall, stumble, hurt themselves, hurt other people. It may end up in devastation. And we can see it's so apparent throughout the world today that this is critical to us. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must understand God loves judgment, that God loves judgment, my brothers and sisters. It is a part of our being. The Bible said so. And judgment, if you look at judgment, it means correction. It means discipline. It means chastisement. It means reproof. It means reprimand. It means punishment. It could even mean destruction, my brothers and sisters. That is significant. And remember, love is key. And God said, as we just read in the book of Revelations, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So we can see that judgment, because he loves judgment, this is part of that judgment. And I will also mention, my brothers and sisters, that we live from cradle to grave in the knowledge of good and evil. And it is because of that good and evil that we need correcting. Remember, God told Adam, the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that I told you not to eat of, you will surely die. So we know that death is our only outcome in the knowledge of good and evil, and that death is not only physical, it is spiritual. So we need to have correction, and that correction came when Jesus Christ was born, and to overcome is when Jesus Christ was born, because we had been correcting, or the Lord God had been correcting us all of that time, but the salvation did not come apparent to us until after Jesus Christ was born. So that is what I'm trying to share with you, and that is the lesson for us this evening. And before I dismiss, I would like to tell you that to all of our listeners, that we, the host and I, are thankful to you and bless you for your participation and encouragement tonight. Good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. We hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Good night.